And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Bacon Saved, written by Paul Reimer. Bacon Saved is brought to you by Procter & Gamble's Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now, here's Zella Lake. Say, Zella, I need you to help settle the discussion. What do you think is America's favorite dessert?
Well, to be truthful, it isn't a matter of just thinking. It's always apple pie. And do you wonder, friends, isn't a big, juicy apple pie with a flaky, tender crust one of your family's first loves? Notice I said flaky, tender crust. That's important. And some women find it a stickler. But you know you can make sure of mouth-watering pie crust. Golly, when you follow Crisco's new pastry method, you just can't miss. Do you know that with Crisco and this new pastry method, you're absolutely sure of tender, flaky pastry? Yes, sir. Every single time you make a pie, you can count on this. That Crisco crust will be as tender and flaky as any you ever tasted. Honest. Pie crust that breaks at the touch of a fork. And of course, being made with Crisco, it'll be pie crust that's digestible, too. Yes. When the family pitches in, there's no worry about upset digestion. And pitch in they will. You just try Crisco in the pastry method printed on the Crisco label, and I'll bet you that even if you've had tough luck with pies before, this time you'll get a perfect crust. Yes, once you try pure, all-vegetable Crisco in this new pastry method, well, you'll be making pies just to show how good you are. And friends, effective immediately, OPA has announced all cooking fats and oils are off the ration list. And that means Crisco is now point free. And now back to Vic and Sage.
Well, sir, Vic, Sage, and young Russell have just finished their evening meal as we join them at the small house halfway up in the next block now. And we find our friends in the kitchen lingering at the table. Sage is speaking at the moment, and we hear her inquiring quizzically.
Why do Russell and me have to leave every time you've got some man stopping past to talk business?
Well, in the strictest sense, this is not business.
Lodge trash?
The lodge is involved to a degree.
You always make such a mystery of it.
Yes. Suppose I do.
Bruce Johnson enjoys making a mystery out of everything.
Does he?
He's liable to walk in the living room on tiptoe and whisper to his father, "I'm going in the hallway and get my hat and coat."
Bruce Johnson's a fascinating fellow.
Yes, he is. The American proper can never be sure what he'll do next.
It's B.B. Barr that's stopping past this evening.
Yes, and it's not impossible that he decides to pay his little visit early.
Heidi, hi. Do I need a house to fall on me, or is that a hint for Russell and me to clear out quick?
Well.
Goodness, grab your coat, Russell.
And don't get trampled in the mad rush for the door.
Oh, there's no need for that big a hurry, friends, but let's not go to sleep on the job.
It's a peculiar feeling getting chased out of your own house.
Oh, now, kiddo, if I thought you really meant
oh,
that.
Oh, nah-ish. I was just fooling. Anyway, I want to see that picture at the Bijou. Not every day in the week I get the chance of having a fine, elegant gentleman escort.
Oh, thanks for the compliment, Mom. After the performance, I'll treat you to a nickel cherry phosphate and it's a Greek.
Lens, I feel like a young lady 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
Do I look like a young lady 16 years old?
Sure.
Well, I'll treat you to a nickel cherry phosphate and it's a Greek.
You know, of course, Sage, you wouldn't really have to leave at all. Go upstairs or sit out here doing B.B. Ball's visit. But to tell you the honest truth, I'm a little self-conscious with members of my family within earshot when I'm discussing junk with somebody in a heart-to-heart sort of way.
This is heart-to-heart junk, huh?
Well, yes. The label applies as well as another, I guess.
And it's in connection with the lodge?
Not primarily. However, the lodge figures prominently in the matter.
B.B. Vaughn neglects to pay his dues and you have to tear the buttons off in his coat, their shirt and underwear, and suspend him from active membership and read him poetry.
Wait a minute, Dr. Sleech. Where are you going?
I was certainly telling you your business, wasn't it?
Bruce Johnson dirty loves to make
Yeah, you were rattling down the track like a steam engine.
Was I right?
No.
Bruce Johnson dirty loves to make
There was a vestige of the facts in your recital, though. You made a shrewd guess.
Is B.B. Vaughn in trouble?
No, not in trouble, exactly.
But he's involved in some crooked business, huh?
Not flagrantly crooked.
But crooked all the same.
You're not by any chance pumping me, are you?
It sure sounds like it, I bet.
You do Johnson dearly loves to amaze his
Well, this friends. Business isn't right. necessarily secret, kiddo. I'd just as soon tell you about it if I thought you'd be interested.
Well, it whets up my curiosity when you use expressions like heart to heart. Person naturally wonders what on earth you and B.B. Ball talk heart to heart about.
I'll explain the matter if you'd like to hear it.
Sure.
What's the time, Missel?
The alarm clock is on the gas stove.
Yes, I know it is. Grant said it and tell me the time.
6:25.
Thank you.
Why are you looking so sour, mister?
Yes, honey, you're as cross as two sticks.
I start to tell something and nobody listens.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Well, tell something. I'll listen.
Never mind.
He's a sulky, dirty, sullen boy.
Yeah. Tell me about B.B. Ball.
B.B. Ball, Stade, is exploiting the members of the Drowsy Venus chapter of the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way.
Is he?
I just discovered the situation just this afternoon.
What's exploiting mean?
Bluetooth Johnson used a word in algebra class even Miss Monroe never heard of. It sounded like...
Yes, Russell? Go ahead.
See how it is, Willie. You interrupt. You interrupt and you interrupt constantly. I asked a question and Gov was about to answer it. But you skate into the conversation with irrelevant trash about Bluetooth Johnson. Goodness, watch that. You're an enormous big high school gentleman. Tell me about B.B. Ball.
He's got a brother opening up a dentist office in Partlow, Illinois next week. He's attempting to get all the Sky Brothers in the Drowsy Venus chapter of the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way to travel to Partlow, Illinois and get his brother launched his business by having a tooth pulled apiece.
Tooth pulled apiece?
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody have a tooth pulled, huh?
Everybody.
You?
Oh, no, not me. B.B. Ball was too smart to come around to me. He knew I'd wreck his little scheme. He knew I'd toss a wrench in the machinery.
You say his brother is open?
Yes, his younger brother. Seems he just graduated from dental college and is ready to practice, and he's arranged to open his office next week in Partlow, Illinois.
Where is Partlow, Illinois?
I don't know. Where is it, Sam?
Between Hudson and Peoria someplace.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what a promoter B.B. Ball is.
I've heard you
Besides tell
about
Besides his job as barber, down in the Butler House Hotel barbershop, he's got several dozen other irons in the fire. He operates the peanut machine there in the Interurban Station. He manufactures and sells that product he invented called Stingerberry Jam. He advertises himself as available to play cornet solos at weddings and funerals.
They say he's buying up the coleslaw concession down in the Lazy Hour School Hall.
I wouldn't be surprised. B.B. Ball is a promoter, a sharp operator. Always on the lookout for an easy dollar.
In this case, he's looking out...
Well, in this case, he's employing some of his cute methods to get his younger brother successfully launched in business. He wants to hire a wagon, fill it full of lodge members, drive to Partlow, Illinois, and let his young brother extract one tooth from each member at $5 a crack.
My stuff.
Some crust, huh?
Some of the lodge members might not need a tooth full.
What does B.B. Ball care?
Well, the lodge members aren't little silly sheep, are they? And they're grown men.
Well, a good many of them are under obligations to B.B. Ball. They owe him money. Either they owe him money or they receive favors at his hands. Why, I found out this afternoon there are almost 50 Sky Brothers who are in B.B. Ball's debt for some reason or other.
50 Sky Brothers are going to let themselves be loaded up in a wagon and taken to another town where they line up like sheep and let a fella yank out their teeth?
Something of a mockery, huh?
I'd call it plain craziness.
Of course, in all fairness, we must consider B.B. Ball's viewpoint. His basic underlying motive is a big-hearted, generous one. He wishes to start his young brother off in the dental profession in a blaze of glory.
By George, he'd sure do it if he pulled off this stunt.
That's right, Justin.
If I opened a dentist office, I'd sure like to have 50 guys walk in and want their tooth pulled the first day.
Yeah.
And what's he charging a crack?
$5.
Gee whiz. 50 times 50 is 250.
I understand he hasn't as yet got the entire 50 lined up. Only 26 or 7 or so.
Has he got Ike Kneesupper lined up?
No, but he's got Homer Heck and Al Eisenminger and Tommy Horan and Harry Bubeck, Paul McClure, Don Elder, John Holtman, and Jack Ryan, and Ernie Flatler, and
Ernie Flatler hasn't got any G's.
What?
Ernie Flatler hasn't got any G's for B.B. Ball's brother to pull.
What does B.B. Ball care?
A dentist can't pull a guy's tooth if the guy hasn't got any tooth.
A master of sharp practice and no cunning can collect $5 from a guy that hasn't got any teeth, though. Ernie Fattler can flop into B.B. Ball's creel as easy as the next fish.
Hey, you're going to put the kibosh on this business, hmm?
I think I am.
B.B. Ball's coming here this evening, and you reason
exactly.
with him?
I'll start out with a fine show of indignation. I will pace the floor in my fury. I'll tell him how, as exalted Big Dipper, I feel responsible for the Sky Brothers of the Drowsy Venus chapter of the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way. I will scream, gesticulate. I will reduce B.B. Ball to a cringing object of shame and remorse.
That's what you don't want me and Rusty to hear.
Beg pardon?
That's the performance, that screaming and trash you'd feel self-conscious about if me and Russell was in the house.
Yes. My oratory might not reach the proper hysterical pitch if I felt people were lurking above stairs, listening.
Well, the neighbors can't hear you, can they?
Well, not unless they're skulking outside the house.
Bluetooth Johnson tells a side-splitting story about getting a tooth pulled up.
Does he? You must narrate it sometime. Say, I see by the clock it's getting along for 7 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah. Willie, shall we try long and throw on our duds?
Yeah.
When I take in the picture show, I like to see it from the beginning.
A well-known example of human nature.
I'll see. Oh, wait a minute. First, we have to stack these supper dishes in the sink. You and B.B. Ball won't be coming out here, will you?
Only to fetch water from the hydrant.
To throw in B.B. Ball's face if he faints?
Perhaps, Cecil. Why are you staring at me, kiddo?
That business sticks in my mind.
Which business?
50 grown-up men letting themselves be loaded up in a wagon and taken to another town where they line up like sheep and let a fella yank out their teeth.
Just one tooth per man, Dave.
All right, just one tooth per man.
That's B.B. Ball for you.
Well, thanks.
B.B. Ball, that past master of sharp practice, that artist at low cunning,